President Obama also used his State of the Union message to advance his interest that more kids actually get to college. He called on states to require students to stay in school until they graduate or until they turn 18.
When students don't walk away from their education, more of them walk the stage to get their diploma.
The White House cited studies that show that raising the compulsory schooling age helps prevent kids from leaving school. NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports on how much of this is true and how much of it may be wishful thinking.
For Paul Leather, New Hampshire's Deputy Commissioner of Education, President Obama's call is the right call.
Well, what it does is it sets the moral imperative so that students and parents and educators become committed to the idea that each student will, in fact, graduate.
New Hampshire recently became one of only 21 states that require kids to stay in school till 18. Leather says it did so after looking at the research.
What we found, both in national and international research, is that when you raise the compulsory age of education, the graduation and retention rates will, in fact, increase.
So, yes, there's evidence kids might stay in school a little longer. But do these laws actually lower the dropout rate? Not really, says Russell Rumberger, professor of education at UC Santa Barbara and author of the book Dropping Out. Requiring kids to stay in school until they're 18 sounds like good policy, says Rumberger, but it doesn't have the impact people think.
You can't just look at the graduation rates or dropout rates by a state and relate it to its compulsory schooling age and saying, aha, there's a direct connection.
Rumberger says all you have to do is look at the 21 states where the compulsory schooling age is already 18. In Nevada, the dropout rate is 58%. Louisiana, 43%. California, 37%. The figures in the other 18 states aren't much better. And then there are states like Kentucky, where kids can leave school as early as 16. That's been the law since 1934. And yet, Kentucky has in recent years dramatically lowered its dropout rate by focusing on the causes. Lisa Gross is with the Kentucky Department of Education.
The reason kids drop out in Kentucky, and I suspect that this is the case nationwide, is not because they're falling behind. It's because they don't see a connection between what they're learning in high school and what their lives are going to be like as adults.
Gross says Kentucky has worked really hard to provide students multiple pathways to graduation. It has created a support system and gotten parents involved. Although, holding on to some kids is not cheap or easy, says Gross.
If you force children to stay in school when they don't want to be there, schools spend a lot of time addressing discipline problems and other issues that pop up.
Still, Gross says President Obama's remarks were important. Russell Rumberger agrees. As long as people don't come away with the expectation that raising the compulsory age to 18 is going to solve the nation's dropout crisis.
I don't want to discount it. It's an important thing to do in the right direction, but by itself, it's probably not going to make a big improvement.
Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm Melissa Blanc, and we begin this hour in the classroom. In his State of the Union address, President Obama outlined a number of proposals to improve American education. In a moment, fighting the dropout rate. But first, President Obama announced a push to increase federal support for college students and to pressure schools to keep tuition low. As NPR's Larry Abramson reports, higher education officials are skeptical.
It's not hard to persuade students at a big state university that government should do more to keep tuition costs down. And President Obama found a receptive audience at the University of Michigan today for the idea that state budget cuts threaten access to public schools.
And we know that these state budget cuts have been the largest factor in tuition increases at public colleges over the past decade.
To reverse that trend, the White House wants to increase a number of programs, grants, work study, and the Perkins Loan Program. And he wants to do it in a targeted way, giving more of those benefits to states and schools that keep tuition down and ensure students' success. Raise tuition too much and you risk getting fewer federal dollars.
We're telling the states, if you can find new ways to bring down the cost of college and make it easier for more students to graduate, we'll help you do it.
Sounds expensive, right? Well, Mark Kantrowitz, publisher of FinAid.org, says it doesn't have to be.
Expanding the Perkins Loan Program from about $1 billion a year to $8 billion a year is actually profitable to the federal government.
because the money gets paid back with interest. But Kantrowitz says this idea probably will never generate enough cash to pay for all the other ideas, doubling the number of work-study jobs and preventing an increase in the interest rate on student loans. You can expect to see duels with Congress over the actual cost of these ideas. Kantrowitz questions whether it makes sense to expand these college aid funds while Congress is already trimming the most important program for low-income students, Pell Grants.
In particular, Congress reduced the income threshold at which a student receives a full Pell Grant from $32,000 to $23,000.
Kantrowitz says that cut could force some students to drop out. Colleges and universities say they want to cut costs, but they do not want Washington deciding which schools are sincere about holding tuition down. Terry Hartle of the American Council on Education says, how will the government decide whom to blame for tuition increases?
In 40 of the 50 states, the public colleges and universities don't set their own tuition, set by the legislature, set by state governing boards and other actors.
Hartle says, for example, it would not make sense to punish California universities for recent tuition hikes. These schools are already suffering from massive state cutbacks. The president did get credit for raising the profile of tuition problems. Richard Vedder is with the Center for College Affordability and Productivity.
He is at least recognizing the need to increase the negative consequences to schools for continuing to raise their tuition.
But at the same time, Vedder says the proposal to increase student aid will defeat the whole purpose.
It makes it easier for people to borrow money, which increases the demand for schooling and pushes up tuition.
Still, many student groups welcome the fact that the president is keeping education front and center as his reelection campaign gets underway. They also applauded a plan to create a college scorecard meant to help families figure out the true cost of going to college. Larry Abramson, NPR News.
President Obama has also been campaigning this week, repeating themes from his State of the Union address. His itinerary included five different states, in Iowa and the Mountain West. He talked about support for manufacturing and domestic energy production. His final stop, the University of Michigan. There, he stressed the importance of keeping college education affordable. NPR's Scott Horsley was there.
There was a pep rally atmosphere inside the Michigan Fieldhouse. By 9 a.m., several thousand students had assembled to hear the president, many still dressed in parkas and scarves after waiting hours outside in the cold.
I want to thank all of you for coming out this morning. I know for folks in college, this is still really early.
Mr. Obama says he knows not only about the hours students keep, but also the burden of student loans. His administration has taken steps to boost student aid, and he's urging Congress to do more. But he warned that federal taxpayers can't make up for the rising tuition costs that have outstripped inflation for the last two decades.
Colleges and universities need to do their part to keep costs down as well.
Aspiring Dr. Andy Roscoe says he was on the fence about Mr. Obama in the last election, but he liked what he heard today.
Not too many opportunities in your life. You get to be in the same room as the president and hear him talk about education, which is obviously, you know, close to home. A group of us, we're all med students here, so we have a lot of student loans, and that's definitely something that's important to us.
Michigan, like all the states Mr. Obama visited this week, is expected to be hotly contested in the November election. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Detroit.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Audie Cornish. A top-rated liberal arts college admits it lied about its students' SAT scores. The school is Claremont McKenna College in California, and it submitted inflated scores to a national ranking service and to the federal government. As NPR's Larry Abramson reports, the incident could threaten the school's U.S. News and World Report ranking.
Claremont McKenna is a rising star among the nation's liberal arts colleges, but late yesterday, the school had to notify staff and students that a senior admissions official had deliberately falsified the SAT scores of students entering the school. The difference was relatively small, adding only 10 to 20 points to the average score, but Robert Morris, director of data research for U.S. News, says it still could have an impact on the school's ranking.
It's really not going to drop the school to 20th place, but I guess there's some chance that it could drop out of the top 10.
School President Pamela Gann recently touted the school's number 9 ranking in a list of achievements. In her message to students yesterday, Gann tried to limit the damage, saying this was the act of one person, no one else was involved. The school's accrediting body, the Western Association of Schools and Colleges, accepted this explanation and indicated there would be no negative consequences if the school handled the matter appropriately. But critics of the U.S. News ranking saw this episode as another sign the ratings race has gotten out of hand. Bob Schaefer with the organization Fair Test says it shows how silly it is to parse fine distinctions between similar schools.
To have single points separating schools between 9 and 11 on a ranking scale encourages them to manipulate their data to boost their ranking.
The same false data went to the U.S. Department of Education. The department said the school could face fines, but that is unlikely if this is, in fact, an isolated incident, the act of an admissions official gone rogue. Larry Abramson, NPR News.